you know, I was listening to, for the conference I went, and when Reverend Jerry Savelle was preaching, and he talked about how he had a stroke, which came from, he had a, like a clot, the artery that was carrying blood to his brain. He said he used to, when he used to fly, he used to go for medical checkup, so before you could allow you to fly. But this time he hadn't gone for years when he stopped flying. That's pilot, all right, flying his own plane. So one day he was riding his bike in the sun and he felt uncomfortable, went to the doctor, what's going on? And the doctor tested him and said, how are you alive? How come you're alive? He said, what do you mean? He said, you should be dead. He said, what do you mean? He said, the major artery that carries blood to your brain is 90% blocked. How is this happening? So he said, look, we need to remove it. So he told him, he said, so what do I need to do? He said, we're just coming, it's just a routine procedure, and we'll just do it 2-3 days, you'll be in the hospital, after that you can go home. He said, no problem, he did it. So it was successful. They took him into the place where he recovered from anesthesia and all of that, and he wasn't responding after some time. So they had to go and tell his wife. He said, they think there's a problem. Think your husband has a stroke. So what happened? He said, while we were trying to remove it, part of it went into his brain and caused a stroke. He said he couldn't move the right part of his body. He was told all he was saying was yes, yes, yes. He didn't recognize anybody. He said he was told, listen, those men are, listen, they don't preach the word. They live the word, those men. Listen, those men are men of God. He said, look, he couldn't remember anything. That everything was what his wife told him, that you were just saying yes. He said, Kenneth Copeland showed up. Listen, he did not pray. He said he stood by his bed and for 2 hours was preaching the word to him. 2 hours. He said his wife said as he started preaching, he broke into tongues and he was praying in tongues for 2 hours. They know the effect of putting the word inside a man. A person that is not knowledgeable will just be saying, pray, God, pray. You understand that? He was preaching, telling him who he was in Christ, telling him, and his spirit responded to that. Are you following what I'm saying? So what you do is that you declare who you are and become strong. You can't afford to be weak. You'll be a prey. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't understand the trouble I'm going through. Listen to me. You can't afford. Whether you're a woman, you can't afford. You say, I'm a woman. There is no woman of God. We are all men of God. Do you get what I'm saying? All right. Okay, let's move on now. But we'll talk about that more later. Choose the one thing you want to consciously exercise faith for during this period. Right? Choose that one definite thing. Now, I'll still come back and teach more on this next week, but I want to get to something that you will exercise your faith for. It may seem difficult, let me tell you this, at the beginning. That is, this thing is far away, and if it wasn't far, it won't require faith. But let me tell you this. By repeatedly pounding God's word on that thing, you will shatter all the barriers, and one day, that thing will be easy inside your heart. Listen, what you need to break down is the unbelief that is on the inside of you. That thing is not difficult, but is the unbelief, which is the unpersuadableness that is there. If you keep at it on a daily basis, Kathy Duplax, Chester Duplax's wife, said something. She said, they tell them in the U.S. Marines, any challenge we give to you might appear difficult, but it is possible. If you keep going at it, keep going at it, keep going at it, you will break it down. If you keep going at it, if you keep going at it, if you keep going at it, it's because you think, you know, once I try first time, I try second time, right? If you keep going at it, if you try to lift weight and it's heavy, if you keep at it, in 3 months, what was very heavy becomes light. It's the same thing, right, when we're believing God for things. So, choose one thing, it may seem difficult, but if you daily pound on the barriers in your heart, you will shatter them and you will become unstoppable. Which means if you keep going at it, if you keep going at it, right, you must also identify, and this is important, the purpose for what you are exercising faith for. In other words, I'm believing God for the fulfillment of this particular thing. But to what end and to what purpose will that thing happen? Right? Which means I'm believing God for this. All right, is it to consume it upon your lust? To what purpose? This is where a lot of people miss it. To what purpose? What is going to be the outcome? How are people going to be blessed? How is humanity going to be helped? How is the purpose of God going to be furthered with my being? Or is this, you know, I want to have this thing, all right, to consume it. In other words, they say, all right, you will get a promotion in your job and you earn twice the salary you are earning. But is it to consume it upon your lust, or for what purpose? Who are the people that are going to benefit? You know, Jerry Savell said something. He said, I have only one expense in life, and it's giving. He said, the only thing I do with money now is to give it away. He said, because God has blessed me, and I saw that scripture. He said, I'm a blessed man. He's blessed me with a house. He said, I have no mortgage. I have no debt. He said, I have nothing. He said, I have my jet. He said, all I'm doing is giving. And then I saw the scripture that says, he will cause all grace, you having sufficiency in all things. Sorry, he that ministers seed will multiply, all right, will minister bread and then multiply the seed sown. So what is being multiplied is what you are giving. He said, that is my primary expense. Like if you look at my money, it says, the real expense that I'm praying to God, who and where do I give this money? He said, that's what I'm doing. He said, there was a day he prayed. Look, if anybody tells you that those men, their prosperity and material, they don't know, they don't understand what they're doing. He said, he prayed one day. He said, God told him, I want you to pay off the entire money for a young pastor's church building who is believing God for it. He said, well, he was waiting and praying, who will this person be? So he was invited by a pastor to a conference, and the pastor said, well, we have some mortgage, we finished building, you know, and all of this. And he said, God just said, that's the person. He told the man, he said, you don't have to bother yourself. I won't have to tell your people to give towards it. Here is the check. You can have it. The man almost fell off. He said, you should have seen what happened to his invitation from young pastors all over America. We are building problem. Come and preach for us. There you go. All right. But he paid everything off. Are you following me? He said that's what he's doing now with the finances in his hand. There. So what do you want it for? Is it as they say? Eh? This is to prepare them. You understand? That these people, when I get this house, they will. These people that don't know my God, they will know today. Is it to settle some warfare in the family as to who is the most blessed? What really is the driving force? Because it has to be part of your confession. This has come to pass and these people have been blessed by it. It has to be part. The outlet has to be there. What you are declaring, right? A lot of people just want the externals, but the real purpose, the life, the spirit of that thing is not inside the confession. That's why a lot of times it failed. Even when they toiled all night and caught nothing, right? And they caught that great haul of fish there and they had that. The purpose of it was that they should go and catch men. Could you imagine them sitting down with the fish and going to sell? They'll have missed the purpose of everything. So there's purpose in the realization. To every season, there's a purpose, which means there is the purpose, all right, you are declaring, all right, into the earth. That is the thing. This outward manifestation is the form, but the purpose is the spirit of that particular thing, and it has to be part and parcel, all right, of your declaration. We receive not, because many times we ask amiss to consume it upon our flesh. Now we get to the part of confession and what I want to get into today. So we start, I'll still get back to all this, but we start declaring, but I want to share something, right? We start declaring the word of God. And what we are doing is we are speaking to the mountain, calling it into existence as though it were. I gave this example that Kenneth Copeland asked Bill Winston, how did you buy this mall? He said the first time God told him about the mall, he was in a state of unbelief, even though he knew it was God's will. Which means that he could not see how the mall will come to pass. It will have it. It was far-fetched. But then he began to declare the words that God gave to him. Went to God, God gave him scripture. Started declaring it by this word. Started declaring it. And after some time, his heart, he began to believe. You start believing that what you are saying will come to pass. You start believing that what you are saying will come to pass. You start believing that what you are saying will come to pass. We ask you, do you believe All right, God's word. He said yes. But he said, do you believe what you are saying will come to pass? As you start saying it, you start believing after some time, what you are saying will come to pass. So Abraham, even though he knew it was God's will for him to be a father of many nations, did not believe it at the beginning. All right? Even though he heard the word, he didn't believe it. So when Sarah came and said, let's go this way, he went. It took time for Abraham to come back to himself and say, finally he got on track. And then he came to the point where he now started believing that what he was saying will come to pass, where he became fully persuaded in his heart that what he was saying will come to pass. And then it began to manifest in his life. So you start out by declaring these things out of your lips. Well, here's the point I'm getting to. And I want to tell you something. When you start believing God for something you have seen in his word, hear me well, it will never work the way you thought it will work. Hear me very well, that plan you have will fail. You hear what I said? F-A-I-L, fail. What you have at the back of your mind, that if this will, it will work like this, I'll get this job, I will, it will not. So you start declaring it, and then the Bible tells us, Jesus taught it this way. He said, trials and tribulation, this is what Paul spoke about here, come for the sake of the word. So you are saying it, and then something happens there. The day of temptation comes. The hour of provocation comes to provoke you inside your heart, to get you provoked. Satan comes and is trying to provoke you by it. It's the hour of temptation, where the Bible says that they were offended. And people get offended. This is where a lot of people stop, right, in their faith walk. Something happens, maybe because we were not taught right, so they weren't prepared right. Warfare breaks out, and then they get offended. And then you hear people saying, well, you know, I did that, you know, I confessed, and they are offended, all right, deeply in God at that particular point in time. Now, it will not work that way. And the reason why the Bible says they are offended, it says that as soon as the trials and tribulation came, it says that they were scorched because they had no root in themselves and therefore were offended. It's the absence of the root that led to the offense and the withering away. The trials and tribulation, all right, which is a type of the sun, was to come to cause growth, to accelerate the growth. But instead of that happening, they got offended. And the reason why they got offended is that the root of their faith was absent. Now, it is this root I want to share. What is the root of this faith? This entire principle is rooted in this particular thing, right? And once we understand this root, then we know what to do. Because the Bible says here, they didn't know my ways. Now, once you understand this, you come to know the ways of God. And even if you are talking with somebody, you walk through this path, and they get into this kind of situation, you will say, calm down. Look, God has his ways of doing things. These are the ways, all right, in which God does what he wants to do. In Ephesians, this is the prayer he prayed. Verse 16, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? Love. Now, the rooted and grounded, that root there is love. That love is the love God has for you. So, when trials and tribulation come, and the Bible says they withered because they had no roots in themselves, is because they didn't know how much God loved them. That's why in the boats, when there was the wind, the first thing man says, carest not thou that we perish. Don't you care, God, that we are perishing? What people doubt is the love God has. The nation of Israel, when they were coming from Egypt to the promised land, what was their problem? They even felt the Egyptians loved them more than God. They said, look. They said, God, you should have left us. Why did you bring us here to kill us? In Isaiah, He said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? God said, can a woman forsake her sucking child? He said, you are engraving upon the palms of my hand. Listen to what I'm saying. No matter what happened to your plan, the love of God for you is intact. Yes, and he wants to prove his love to you through that thing. Yes, that's the root. So what I'm saying is that trials and tribulation will come, but it's going to help manifest the love God has for you in that situation. Now, if you follow through and don't get offended, remember, that's why I said your project will fail. God's own will happen. Listen, it will happen through your confession. Listen, you know, sometimes, you know, we just catch these testimonies on the outside. You know, when people are saying, I say, God is helping us. Look, you said they sacked you from that job. You will see that God loved you. That when they sacked you, where I want to show is that God, you loved me so much that you allowed them to sign that sack letter. You know I did not know God. I had missed you totally. The sack brought me into your plan for my life. Do you understand what I'm saying here? But when you say, where was God? I paid my tithes on the salary. No salary I ever collected. I didn't pay that. When they said that we should give seed, I gave seed. I don't understand. Where is God? Which means, carest not thou that we do what? Perish. The root of a Christian faith is not your love for God, but God's love for you. That's why he said a person who is established in God's love, hear what I'm saying, will go through everything. You know, I heard Kenneth Copeland, that man is deep. Hey, shut up. Deep. He said, how do you build this love? He was talking about God's love. He said, how do you build God's love? He said, John. He was called the disciple whom the Lord did what? Loved. He said, but when you read it, it's only in John you find John saying he was loved by the. No, it was his confession. Luke didn't say, Mark didn't say. John was confessing that I'm the one Jesus loves the most. And he said it so much that Peter believed too. Peter said, since Jesus loves you more than us, why don't you ask him? Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, the love of God is what you mustn't doubt. All right? What I'm trying to tell you is that your faith is hooking up to the eternal wisdom of God, not your own small mind and plan. And if you will believe when there's crisis that God loves you and you follow his love, you will get to where we're going here. Are you following what I'm saying here? So when it doesn't work, seem like, understand, what are you supposed to do? The plan just collapsed. Instead of getting angry, worship Jesus. Sing to him of how much he loves you. Say, Lord, I know you love me. Construct a song and worship him that your compassion is right here with me. Then look at what he says. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and the height. That word comprehend means you start coming into a workable understanding of the love of God. Which means you begin to understand it to an extent that, you know, when somebody is, you understand how God's love operates. So when somebody tells you that, this thing happened to me, you say, calm down. I know how God's love works. Look, God is up to something. Just calm down. God is up to something here. Calm down. Worship him. Praise him. Thank him. Look, God tells him how much, which means that when they saw no food, what they were supposed to do in the wilderness was, God, I know you love us. Oh God, you love us so much. And then God will have manifested what he wanted to do. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, it says, and to know the love of Christ that passeth all knowledge, that you may be filled with what? The fullness of God. In other words, what happens is, as you begin to rejoice in the love of God, let's assume Petros lost his job, he lost something, and he's rejoicing in the love of God for him, holding his confession, rejoicing, he gets filled with the fullness of God. You don't even know that the person is going through anything. What is oozing out of that person is God. This person just went through some crisis. He hears that somebody is in hospital, goes there with oranges, goes there with fruits, everything, sits down by that person talking. The person says, but I just heard you lost. What is oozing out is no offense, but the fullness of God. People are enjoying God from this person. The person walks in fullness of God. We didn't know how we are going to handle this situation, because we just heard that somebody in our department just lost their job. We didn't know how, but he comes in and is filled with the fullness of God. He's the one encouraging people. You're saying, wait a minute. What's going on? Because he's filled with the fullness. He understands the root of this thing is God's love for me. He's filled with the fullness. Now, put up the next verse there. Once you are filled with the fullness, then now, when there's fullness, now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you were asking and what you were thinking at the beginning, according to that power. That's the way it works. So when you are confessing and you have this small vision, I remember Ray McCauley said they were confessing for a 2-acre property. They paced the floor. They lost it. But when you lose it, worship Jesus. That God, you love us. Sing about his love. Don't turn and say, what happened there? Listen to me. But we did it now. We quoted the scripture. We got titled it. They lay down on us. Be filled, worship him, thank him, all right, bless him. And what starts happening is that you start getting filled with the fullness of God. Nobody even knows, can even trace anything. You are filled, you are genuine. The fullness of God is there. And then at that point, because you are filled that way, God is now able in your life to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you asked or thought, according to his power that is at work in you. Nobody has followed through on this and failed to see God. So that when you are talking to somebody who says, you know, I was believing God for this, I started my confession and everything fell out. You say, hold it there. I know the ways of God. I know the ways of God. Someone in this church, she got married, I've said this before, working in an oil company. They promoted people, they skipped her. She was going to get offended. This is where everybody gets offended. I said, I'm leaving this company. Her husband just said, calm down. Let's see what God will do. A few months after, they called her from the vice president of the multinational, called from France, and said, we've just discovered oil in Uganda. And we need somebody to go and help the legal department. Nobody in Uganda, is the first time they're finding. We can't find any Ugandan who understands the legal framework of oil. And we want there to want it to be an African that we heard it. Will you go? She said 2 weeks after that, she was addressing the entire Ugandan Senate. And she said, it started out. If they had promoted me, I would have been in that position. This somebody else would have gotten it. Maybe the person I felt they promoted wrongly would have been the one going. And then I'd have put up. Now she lives in France, earning euros. It would have been promotion in Nigeria as maybe assistant head of legal department. Well, you know what happens? When people lose that promotion, they get angry. I paid my tithes. I did this. I did that. And they don't come to know how much God loves them. Because their love is the calculated plan they have in their mind. What am I trying to tell you? Even when Joseph was lied on, he still said, God, you love me. No matter what happens on the outside, Paul said, nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ. And that you account me as a sheep for slaughter. He said, but you'll find out through that love, I'll be more than a conqueror. Stay with that love. Worship God. Put your faith in that love. The root begins to go into you. So listen, as we teach this, let me tell you this. You will come against obstacles. So you don't think that once I do 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm home and dry. I'm saying when you do 1, 2, 3, it will scatter. Then God will show you how much he loves you. And then it doesn't go 4, 5, 6. It goes 38, 94. Are you following what I'm saying? You start with your arithmetic progression. You enter that and it goes to geometric progression with the love of God. But it is rooted in God's love to you as a person. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening.